Welcome to Emotional Empowerment, a podcast for emotionally sensitive or struggling people who are open to learning how to use your emotions as a spiritual practice. Hi, I'm Michelle Bursell, and I've taught therapists, coaches, and people around the world how to use their negative feelings to heal their life, and in doing so, eliminated their struggle with anxiety, depression, anger, guilt, and more. Ready to turn your negative feelings into your greatest allies? Then let's start your emotional empowerment journey right now. Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode number 4, How to Naturally Dissolve Your Ego. I'm Michelle Bursell, and I am so excited to share with you how to dissolve your ego. And of course, with emotional empowerment, you know we're going to be doing this from the standpoint of love. Today, we're talking about your ego, which is going to be so powerful exactly because the ego is a powerful force, right? That's why we have so many problems with it, so many complications in our life due to our ego. It's all about learning how to work with your ego rather than fight against it. Because as you've heard me say before, what we resist persists. So we've got to stop fighting aspects of ourselves and instead understand them from the lens of love. And if any part of us needs more love, it's our ego. Now, I hear you questioning me. You're saying, Michelle, how can we love our ego when our ego is to blame for all our plights, all my challenges, all my problems? Even the late Wayne Dyer said, the ego is an acronym for edging God out. So how are we supposed to make sense of this from love? It's true. The ego is your false self. And it's our false self which masks your truth. When you are aligned with your truth, you are aligned with the divine within you and around you. So if your ego keeps you separate from your truth, shouldn't we be trying to dissolve the ego? Yes, absolutely. And with emotional empowerment, the way to do it is through love and understanding, not fear and shame. Not that this is a bad part of us that we have to get rid of. That doesn't work. So how I came to love my own and other people's egos is by understanding that the ego serves a big purpose. What you'll hear over and over in this podcast is that all aspects of our emotional selves are present to serve us. To understand how your ego serves you, it's best to understand why it forms to begin with, right? So here's my take on why that is. So you come into this earth as this holy and divine being that has chosen to step into the human experience. Why would you choose to become human? I believe it's a deeper way to experience the divine within you in its wholeness. It's like the difference between reading a book and living the experience, right? It's like you can read about something or you can live it. And when you live it, you really understand it at a heartfelt level. And of course, the human experience is messy, and it's messy for a reason. Because when we experience opposites, that's how you come to really know your truth at that heartfelt level. We got to go beyond the mind, beyond the head, and really feel it within us. So your human experience is going to come with some challenges, right? They all do. The first challenge when you're born is that here's a new life, and this new life has its own needs. And the thing is, all of your needs are not going to be met based upon a mix of who your parents are, how they respond to different aspects of life, the life circumstances you were born into, and the unique way to best meet your needs as an individual all equate to your unique story in which some of your internal needs are met and some aren't. Having your needs go unmet causes pain. As a baby, you likely wailed when they were not met. As you get to be a toddler, though, you're going to start to take in either actual mumblings about you or felt mumblings about you. So let me explain what I mean. Actual mumblings are things you hear such as, oh my gosh, this baby's crying so much, or what else do you need? Or why can't you just be easier? Or gosh, this child is just so spirited. And you know that's not a great thing. Now, if you're emotionally sensitive, you'll also take in how you and your needs are making your parents, your caregivers feel. And these are the people who you love the most. You'll pick it up without them saying one bad thing about you. Now, they may be overwhelmed because of their finances, job, your siblings, their parents, or 100 different things, but your sensitivity will interpret it as you being the cause to their negative feelings because you're feeling it when they are around you. Your interpretation is that you are causing pain to someone you love. You learn either subtly or blatantly that if you tuck away your needs and aspects of yourself, others seem to have a better reaction to you, and you cause others less pain. So through trial and error, this quote unquote better version of you is created, and this is how your false self is born. We think of our false self as bad, but it actually has a psychological way to help you adapt to your circumstances. That's why it was born. It's your best chance to get your needs met when you don't have any control over your circumstances or environment. So let me say that again, because some of you may be saying, did I hear that right? Yeah, your false self serves a psychological need or way to allow you to adapt to your circumstances. And it allows you to have your best chance to have your needs met when you don't have any control over your environment. So let's say you were an inquisitive child and asked your parents a million questions. Perhaps they were born less inquisitive than you, or they just liked more peacefulness, or they were too stressed out to answer all your questions. What I want to stress is that this does not make your parents bad. It makes them human. And their humanness is different than your humanness. And so they're trying to address you as a human based on their human knowingness. So I'm not trying to say that what some parents didn't do bad things to people. I know there are parents who were physically, emotionally, verbally, and sexually abusive to their kids. What I'm trying to say is that it's common for parents to not do blatant harm, but still unintentionally harm just by being a human with limited understanding. Now, because of the work I do, the most common aspect that I see is that if you're highly sensitive or a highly emotional kid and your parents weren't, they didn't know how to handle you. They truly don't entirely get you. So they give advice based on what they know, which is not this part of you. And since you look to them for love and approval, you try your hardest to take their advice. You work hard on not being so darn sensitive. You try to toughen up and not take things so personally. Now, their intention was just to try to make you more resilient. But you take it as this sensitive part of you is a weak part of you, right? So if you didn't hear episode number 3 on building self-confidence as an emotionally sensitive person, you'll definitely want to go back and hear that one. So I want to add on to our conversation in episode 3 about how this impacts you and your ego. So you're taking on that this sensitive part of you is weak. Then your ego is going to come in and say, okay, we need to be different so we can feel less like a problem child and get more approval. Now, this is not happening consciously. This is happening on a subconscious emotional level. So your subconscious mind will say something like, you know, I think my parent would like me to be more fill in the blank. And then you choose a mask that you think will get their approval. For many emotionally sensitive people, the result happens to be one of these types of masks. And there's more, but these are some common ones that I see. Number 1 on the list, and by the way, I've had pretty much all these. So if you see yourself raising your hand to one of these masks, that's an important piece to be able to see. And that's actually part of how we will naturally dissolve your ego. But we've got to understand them first. So number one mask I see is I've got to have my stuff together mask. It's a mask that some would call trying to be perfect or perfection. But people tend to sway away from perfection because when we think perfection, we think every part of our life has to be perfect. Where similar mask to this is, I've got to have my stuff together. And it could just be in one area that you really identify yourself with. So the sense is, you know, I've got to keep myself together on the outside in some way so that people are less likely to notice all the internal cracking that's going on inside of me. So deep inside, I feel vulnerable when I have this mask, but I need to hide that or people will find out the real me is not that pretty, is not that together, right? So I've got to keep myself together mask. It could be that you're really identifying with your grades or success, but you don't care about being healthy. Or it could be the other way around. You're really into your weight and beauty and you could care less about what your grades are or your financial status. So it's not about this. It could be about overall perfection or really identify that I get my sense of worth based on something outside of me. And I have got to keep this part of my life together because without it, I'm nothing. Another popular mask. I can't be wrong. The I can't be wrong mask, because I wear this mask because I feel wrongly made as it is. I can't take the other ways that I'm wrong. And since being human means I'm going to make mistakes, I've got to protect myself by denying them, blaming others, or being defensive about any slightest thing that I could be doing wrong. So this is a mask that is created when someone has experienced a lot of external judgment or just has an ego that's been super critical of oneself. Another mask. Now, this one might surprise you. I touched upon this a little bit in episode 3. I call it the lion mask. You think of the lion, it likes to roar. The lion mask is someone who loves to roar. They might be loud. They might be quick to get angry. And it's really about that they want to show to everyone else how powerful they are when deep inside, they do not feel powerful at all. In fact, they feel extremely vulnerable. So they're hoping the roar keeps people away. They're hoping if I roar loud enough, people won't see, quote unquote, how weak I am. And what's really difficult with this mask is that people that wear the lion mask are really desperate to feel connection and love. However, by wearing the lion mask, this is absolutely turning people away from them. You know, the lion mask is there to scare others, right? And so when sensitive people put on this lion mask, and most people that wear the lion mask are sensitive, they end up feeling isolated, depressed, and can even have addiction issues because it's difficult to hold up this lion roar when really all they crave is bear hugs, right? They're bears, these teddy bears once you get to know them. The last mask that I'll talk about is the poor me / victim mask. And you may be asking yourself, well, why would, because we're putting on these masks, remember, to appease a parent. Our parent probably identifies with one of these masks as well. And the poor me victim mask, a parent would like that if a parent has their own victim story. Because remember, misery loves company. And what happens in these types of circumstances is that now you can be codependent on each other, the parent and the child, which at least makes you feel needed despite all the ways you're both identifying that life hasn't been good to you. Of course, the problem is the more you identify with any mask, the more you reinforce why it needs to be there. For me, I had, as I said, quite a few masks going on, but one of my biggest ones was especially trying to appear put together. And when you have this mask of trying to be put together, it is exhausting. And that's the number one thing that I see, no matter what someone's put together is, again, whether it's beauty and health on the outside, whether it's happiness and being a spiritual go-to person or being the successful person, whatever it is, it's exhausting. And so I had my put together mask, especially in my late teens, early 20s, and my ego was so intense, always riding me, that I wasn't measuring up to its standards on how I should be. So what people do when they have this mask is, this is where we see people escaping. And that's exactly what I did. I drank to relieve the pressure of the huge gorilla I had on my shoulders telling me everything that I was doing was incorrect. So in the short term, the drinking worked. It was like, bye-bye, gorilla, right? The drinking allowed me to escape from the gorilla, which was my ego just on me all the time. The problem was that I wasn't casually drinking. I was drinking to escape. So not only would I escape my gorilla, I would escape my common sense and then end up doing something that I would feel totally embarrassed about the next day. My shame over my behavior tightened the grip on my gorilla, and my gorilla was trying to control me even more then, which I would try to abide by until I needed to escape again because I just couldn't do it. I couldn't live up. And then I would drink again, and then I'd have more proof as to why I'm not good enough again. So the proof my ego kept shoving in my face said to me, Michelle, clearly you need this mask. You need to get your life together. Without it, you are a huge mess. So if you don't feel enough, worthy, or lovable right now while trying to keep your mask on straight, just think of what you would be without this mask at all. No way would you ever be worthy or lovable or enough. So you have to stick to the frickin' mask. It's your only hope. So what I want you to see is, whatever your mask is, the ego hooks you. Now, this is subconsciously, of course. It's on an emotional level you aren't aware of. But the emotional hook is, if you want to have any of your emotional needs met, if you want to feel accepted, worthy, lovable, enough, you've got to keep this mask on, because without it, you are minimally less than, and in maximum pain, you're nothing without your mask. And that's exactly how I felt at one point. So how do we find that ticket out of our ego's torture? Well, it's your negative emotions, right? That's what we're talking about in this podcast, how your negative emotions can be your greatest ally. Your negative emotions are this divine feminine energy, the energy of she who cannot be contained. She's coming forward, this energy, your power. And when your negative feelings pour out of you, you're trained to think, what's wrong with me? Why can't I hold it together like everyone else can? And what I want you to know is that your inability to hold the falsities of life together is what makes you amazing and needed. The world doesn't need more falseness. It needs more of your truth. Just needs more truth. But let me be clear, the truth of you is power-filled. So in order for you to truly claim this, your negative emotions will continue to be there to help you find your way back to the real, authentic you. Now, the version of negative feelings we've been trained to hear holds only the voice of your ego, which will want to rant and blame and be the victim and that it's not your fault. This is the way we've been taught to understand and perceive our negative emotions. It's all through the voice of the ego. And when you understand your negative feelings from the lens of empowerment and love, you're going to shift to see your negative feelings are present to alert you that within you something is amiss. And you have the power to see what that is and change it. I'm going to be getting into much more detail about how to do this, but briefly, how it's done is this. You experiencing a negative emotion, you're going to have greater awareness around your negative emotion. A, you're not going to be as afraid of it. B, you're not going to react to it and just listen to your ego's version of it. You're going to have a choice. Am I going to believe what the ego is telling me through this negative feeling, or am I going to question it? And as we get more into the podcast, I'm going to share with you how the empowered version of your negative feelings are guiding you to question your ego. And the more you question your ego, the more you're going to find your truth. The more you side with your truth, the less you need that mask, and it naturally dissolves. The reason is your ego has done its job. It's protected you until you no longer need its protection. Let me say that again. Your ego's done its job. It's protected you until you no longer need its protection. You no longer need its protection when you no longer believe what it's telling you. This is our spiritual journey. This is our growth. It's all of our journeys. Your negative feelings are there to guide you to dismantle the big masks at first, right? And then it's smaller veils that you've been wearing. And we keep doing this until we are ready to stand openly in our truth. So if your ego tells you that you've got to have every ounce of your life together to be enough, I invite you to experience the opportunity you have in not having your life together. And what that means, it's an opportunity to let go of the tight grip in order to be real, vulnerable, and ultimately free. When you see you being this way as enough, so will your ego. If your ego shames you for being wrong, celebrate the gift in being able to apologize. Be human, and then be loved despite your mistakes. I'm telling you, you'll start to experience more love than you ever knew was possible. If you protect yourself by being the lion, set aside your need to distance people with your roar and let them in to see the vulnerable you. I promise you'll feel less isolated. If you have identified as the victim, invite yourself to see the courage you've had to survive and press upon the innate power inside of you and see what else wants to awaken in you. While you won't be in control of what it looks like, and that'll scare you, it will be much better than feeling powerless. It's the ego that says, I've done this inner work already. Yet you continue to struggle in one or more areas of your life. That struggle isn't just a part of life. That struggle is to cause enough pain so you can reveal yet another layer of your truth. So don't let your ego allow you to settle with struggle. It's also the ego who questions, when will I be done? Like, I've got to be done with dealing with my ego. As far as I know, never. I don't know about you, but I enjoy my continued unfolding. You see, I'm not a guru in any way without an ego. So if that's what you're looking for, it's not me. I am a human that is passionate about understanding ourselves from love. Because I believe that when we understand ourselves from love, that's how we create greater self-love as well as greater compassion towards others. And with that, we're more likely to share love in the world and less likely to inflict pain. As within, so without. As inside of you, so it is reflected outside of you. As you let go of ego masks and see them for what they are, as ways to protect you until you no longer believe in them. When you see the falseness in what your ego is trying to tell you, I promise it will dismantle. And as you see this dismantling in your own life, you will be filled with greater self-love, understanding, and compassion for others. This is how we will support one another to see through the ego and come back to our truth. Less pain within equals less pain in the outer world. And that's what is calling for us to do, and we can't dissolve the ego with our hatred for it, our judgment around it, or our fear. Give yourself this opportunity to see how you can lovingly understand why your ego felt it needed to protect you as strongly as it has, and you will start to see your own ability to stand in your truth and let that ego dissolve on its own. Thank you so much for joining me. I can't wait to share with you more next week as we get more into the ways to turn your negative feelings into your greatest allies. Take care, everyone. Thank you for listening to the Emotional Empowerment Podcast. If you've enjoyed the program, please leave us a rating and review on iTunes to help us spread the message about how to use your emotions as a tool for spiritual and personal growth. To receive free training and emotional empowerment, visit www.iiee.training. That's www.iiee.training.